Communities around the region continue to evolve in their approaches to homelessness because homelessness is clearly not going away, despite many efforts to get people into homes and off the streets. In Ashland, members of the clergy joined together earlier this month in a letter to the community and to city leaders requesting more attention and more services for homeless people. It's a long list of clergy representing many faiths. One of the signers is here with us, along with a leader from an organization that has been working for some time on homeless issues. Reverend Dan Fowler is with the First Presbyterian Church in Ashland, one of the signers and creators of the letter. Reverend Dan, thank you for joining us. And Ken Gudger is with us as well. He's the president of OHRA, which is Options for Helping Residents of Ashland. So let's start with you, Ken. I want to hear a bit about what OHRA has been doing over the years to help homeless people, how long it's been around.
Well, we were formed. Our bylaws were written in 2012, but we got our nonprofit status from the federal government in 2014. So I guess you could say we've been in full effect for 4 years. We have a resource center, a one-stop shop, right next to Safeway, just on the east side of Safeway on Siskiyou Boulevard, 611 Siskiyou Boulevard. And that's manned with employees and two employees part-time and a number of volunteers. And we primarily focus on three things: housing, jobs, employment, and what we call essential services, which is a whole basket of things that might start with getting your birth certificate so you can get an Oregon ID, so you get SNAP, supplemental nutrition assistance benefits and health care and that sort of thing. So that has been our main focus. We do have some other programs, but that's our main program.
Did you arise, did the organization come about because it perceived some things missing in the safety net that existed already?
Very much so. Before Aura was around, homeless people had to travel to Medford, a bus ticket or a couple or three bus tickets, if they knew where they should travel to, because social services are so dispersed across local, state, and federal governments. So it became a rallying cry for a lot of good citizens of Ashland in the 2010 to 12 timeframe, and Aura resulted. And then the city of Ashland was very supportive, gave us $100,000 to start the resource center over 2 years. And with the condition that we would build a group of grantors and donors, which we have. We now have the good citizens of Ashland, over 300 donors that give more than 51% of all of our income. So it's a real community effort. It's community serving the community.
Really. And Aura is what you call yourselves. OHRA becomes Aura.
Aura, O-H-R-A.
Okay, that helps. You know, there's a certain glow that comes with Aura. Dan Fowler, Reverend Dan Fowler from the First Presbyterian Church, talk about the efforts that the church has been involved with over the years in helping homeless people.
Well, the Presbyterian Church in town actually was the instigator of the winter shelter about 11 years ago. So that's where it started, and a number of other organizations and churches and faith communities have stepped up to help, as well as the city. The city's done a great job in trying to help there be shelter for those who are in need during the winter months so that people don't die on the streets.
Are there things about Ashland that make it a difficult place to address the issues of homelessness or make it more likely that people will end up homeless? Ken Gudger?
There is a uniqueness to Ashland. We have really two types of homelessness. We have those who are residents of the city who are here all year long, and then just the tourist nature of Ashland right along I-5 lends itself to a lot of people during the summer. We call them travelers or other names, and they come through. They are more people who have chosen a different lifestyle. But the people we serve at Aura are the Ashland residents. The travelers really are not looking for housing and jobs and essential services. Ashland is both unique and it's standard in the homeless crisis.
All right, I was going to ask you about differentiations between stripes of homelessness because they're not all the same, but that's good to know. We'll pick that up again later. So Reverend Dan Fowler, let's talk about the Interfaith Clergy of Ashland and the letter to the city in early June.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a meeting in May at our church, and there's been a lot of discussion of trying to find new ways to reach out and make a difference for those who are on the street. And there was some energy around putting a letter together, and one of our clergy started taking notes and said she'd put something together, and then we had the letter. And the purpose of it, as far as I'm concerned, was to just highlight the issue. and encourage the city and nonprofits and interfaith community to step up and, I won't say solve the issue, but become actively involved in helping the homeless.
Who was it primarily directed to? Who was your primary audience for the letter?
I would say the people of Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg, that's where I was from. People of Ashland. And
they would like the people of Fort Bragg to solve the homelessness issue, but yeah.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, having been there for 14 years before coming here, the issues are very similar.
Are they?
And the population's very similar. So I would say the emphasis was to highlight the issue, bring it to the city's attention, bring it to the people's attention.
Any members of the clergy not sign it? I mean, it looks like it's a pretty long list.
We got as many as we could. We had a certain amount of time to get the letter published and sent out. So a number of folks tried to reach out and got as many clergy and interested people as possible to sign.
So a clergy letter to the community and to city leaders in Ashland is the topic on the table in front of us. Reverend Dan Fowler is with the First Presbyterian Church in Ashland. Ken Gudger is the president of ORA, Options for Helping Residents of Ashland. You can join the conversation. Talk about the things in your community that may look insurmountable in getting homeless people off the streets and things that have worked. We'd like to hear from either end of the spectrum and any place in between. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned, Dan Fowler, that First Presbyterian Church was involved with getting shelters in Ashland in the first place, and shelter is a big item in the letter. So what does exist now, and what would you like to move to?
Well, we have winter shelter from November through April. It's located, or has been located, in a few different places. It's been at our church on Monday evenings, the Trinity Episcopal Church on Tuesdays, and then four nights at the Pioneer Hall, which unfortunately now is no longer an option for a site.
Not considered adequate or substandard or something?
Substandard building. There are some issues that need to be addressed that make it not an option. So I think that's really where the onus came to try and do something once we heard the Pioneer Hall was no longer an option. We wanted to try and make a difference.
So time to do something different.
Yeah.
And then what have been some of the issues in providing such a shelter? It sounds like, for one thing, you do have to rotate around and spaces that are offered are limited.
You have to get volunteers to staff, and most places feed people. You have to have your volunteer staff trained so they can deal with folks who have mental health issues or who have anger issues or other things. So it's quite a lot of work.
And outside the so-called shelter season, what do people do?
They spend time on the street, or they move on. But the ones who are here in Ashland stay. And there's a place, I think it's called the Ferry Pools, up above, that a lot of folks go to.
Actually, I think it's kind of every man and every woman and every child for themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cars. People sleep in their cars. People sleep in the hills just south of town. And there are a few homeless camps here and there that people frequent. It's dispersed, out of sight, out of mind, at least for most of Ashland. But it becomes a crisis in the wintertime when temperatures dip down into the 20s, and that's right. Why the winter volunteer shelter has sprung up and been so successful.
The winter shelter originally was triggered by temperature, wasn't it? Like some other warming shelters in some other cities that in the region we serve, where it had to get below a certain temperature to open up? Originally, I think.
Our winter shelter in Ashland was triggered by the good folks at the First Presbyterian Church. They started it. It was Monday night only, and then year after year, another night was added until last year we had 6 out of 7 nights covered. And then ORA, my organization, became the contractor to the city for the 7th night. If temperatures got into a sub-freezing situation, then we would open a shelter at Pioneer Hall across from Lithia Park last winter.
But sheltering, then, it does seem to be a big issue, because you got this ongoing thing where you're fighting for space and fighting for time.
Well, and it's difficult to find space in the city of Ashland where you can have shelter.
Before I want to go further on shelter. I do want to ask, though, about what happens to people if they do end up outside in certain places. There are some ordinances on sleeping in public places in Ashland, correct?
Yeah, there is no public camping, and people can be cited and fined for that. And then they end up with a fine and with fees to pay, and they can't afford those fees to pay. And so that becomes a problem. It is a significant problem, and that's what we're trying to address. I mean, in the social services field today, people are stressing a continuum of care, and shelter is one piece of that continuum of care. But the object is to get people stabilized and get them into some sort of permanent supportive housing, not to be satisfied with them being on the street, but to move toward stabilization.
So when they show up, for example, at Ora Ken Gudger and ask for services, I mean, do you run through a pretty typical triage list about figuring out what their immediate needs are, what their longer term are, that sort
of
thing?
Jeffrey, we do. We have what's called motivational interviewing, and we've trained all of our volunteers and employees to sit down and listen to what they want to solve. We might know all the issues they need to solve to become stabilized, but we have learned that the best way is to follow their motivation. So we do an intake, and we do about 60 of those a month at Ora. And much of our effort is actually involved in preventing evictions, keeping people from becoming homeless. We this year will probably do over 120 eviction preventions and probably find homes for somewhere around 35 homeless people. So that gives you a feel for how much of the time we're working on keeping people in their apartment rather than getting on the street.
Is the eviction prevention becoming more common, I wonder?
Absolutely. That's a big issue. 2 years ago, we were half this number, and now we're spending most of our time and effort on this. Once a person gets on the street, we've got to get them rehoused quickly, because the longer they're on the street, the more chronic the situation, more crisis it becomes. And once they become chronic homelessness, which has a HUD definition to it, having been homeless for more than a year or more than four homeless episodes in the last year, once you're chronic, it's extremely hard to get you back into permanent housing. So we are trying to stop the flow into homelessness as well as solve the homelessness problem.
When you talk about the motivational interview and listening to what the people want addressed, I mean, are the wants often fairly close to what the needs perceived by the interviewer are?
The interviewer can see long range and can see this is going to be a several week or a couple of month process to get this person stabilized. But the person, the nature of homelessness is you are trying to solve tonight's problem. You are trying to solve the problem right in front of you. So whatever that particular problem is, that's what we must solve first before we can get into the long-range solutions.
We're talking about homelessness in Ashland with Ken Gudger, the president of ORA, which is Options for Helping Residents of Ashland. Reverend Dan Fowler's with the First Presbyterian Church in Ashland, which provides shelter. And he's also involved in this letter from the clergy to the city and city council. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Talk about issues of homelessness in your town, ways in which they have been approached, and anything that has met with success. We'd certainly like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And so was the letter presented officially to the city council or just mailed to them? I mean, did you take it to a council meeting, Dan Fowler?
I did not. Reverend Richenda Fairhurst took it to city council, and it was presented there, and it was done during a city council meeting.
What kind of response from city council?
My understanding was generally very positive.
What's your sense of what the city generally does to deal with issues for homeless people in the city?
I think there's a real interest, quite frankly, a heart to do what they can, and I'm pleased to see that. I would say that certain members of the city council actually were involved in helping create ACRC and ORA, and so there's interest to try and be creative and solve this issue. There's a lot of work on transitional housing that's being done in the city of Ashland right now, so I see them as co-workers in trying to solve this issue.
Is there just more money that's required, more effort? I mean, what was the overall psychic move you wanted to see from putting that letter out there?
Well, the sense I get is there just was a real synergy in coming together, and I think those of us who were gathered in May felt that and wanted to highlight that sense of coming together and try and seize upon it and see if we can really get the momentum continuing. My understanding is that there have been years past, long before I was here, where people would start talking about issues of homelessness and everybody would say, well, let's do something, and it would sort of wane. And so my hope is to keep it from waning.
there's a certain level of frustration, I'm sure, with the chronicness of homelessness. And I don't mean just in people who are chronically homeless in the HUD definition, but the idea that, you put money and you put effort into it, you make shelters, things like that, and yet you still see people on the streets and you still see suffering and you still think, well, this, we can't do this. We can't fix this, I think. Mm. And some people, I imagine, do walk away with that sense.
Sure. Well, I think of the story of a little boy who's out on the ocean and he's got a sand dollar and he's throwing sand dollars back into the ocean because he wants them to go back to the sea and stay alive. And a man sees him throwing the starfish or the sand dollars into the ocean and says, well, what are you doing? And he said, I'm helping the sand dollars. And he said, well, you can't help all of them. And the boy throws a sand dollar and said, just help that one. So, no, we can't help everyone. But if we can help one, if we can help one person get off the street and get their lives back, that's something. And that's what we need to do.
So, Ken Gudger, what do you have to do to keep enthusiasm up in the community, in the continuum of care, too? All the people who are arrayed to help people who have been or are about to be homeless at one time or another, how do you keep up the enthusiasm to continue to do what they're doing, even though they can see that you get this person taken care of and then another person walks through the door?
Yeah, I think we're somewhat blessed to be in Ashland because there is some innate enthusiasm. The city council and city leaders have been involved for a number of years on this, and we have 50 volunteers that work with us. So the issue is not, Jeffrey, so much enthusiasm. The issue is putting together the infrastructure to handle a continuum of care. We need shelters, yes. We need a resource center, yes. We need a human hub with Department of Health Services and others, yes. We need permanent supportive housing, yes. So it's putting together this infrastructure. We've been working on it for 4 years, and we can begin to see, I don't know if I should say light at the end of the tunnel, because I don't know if this tunnel ever ends, but we can begin to see good things happening. As Reverend Dan was saying, we have 36 people last year that found housing that were previously unhoused. We have 104 people last year that were prevented from eviction. We had 44 people last year that got permanent employment that were unemployed. So we're making a difference. We're making a difference.
What was the number unemployed?
We found 44 permanent employment jobs. Those are maids in the hotel rooms and people pumping gas at gas stations and dishwashers at restaurants. 44 people got employment, and that's a long ways toward getting an apartment of your own, getting housed.
Homeless in a small city and some of the responses to it. Ken Gudger is the president of Aura, Options for Helping Residents of Ashland. Reverend Dan Fowler at the First Presbyterian Church in Ashland. You can join the conversation, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I wonder if you have an issue, particularly with Ashland, as expensive and trendy, upscale, use your term here, as it is, that if you make homeless people comfortable here, they'll want to come here and stay.
Issue is much discussed, but the people we're dealing with are people who live here. We're not dealing with the transients who are trying to make a decision where they want to stay. We're dealing with people who want jobs and houses and stabilization right here.
I would add to that that the argument is if you provide the services, more people will come. On the other hand, if you don't provide services, nothing will ever change. And so it certainly is possible that the more that we do, more people could come. I won't disagree with that possibility. But if we do nothing, then the best we have is keeping people alive and they never get out of the cycle of poverty.
So the main focus of the letter, at least as I printed up and circled, the idea of a shelter, a real, firm community permanent kind of shelter.
Yeah.
What's the progress on that?
Well, we've got a lot of different irons in the fire. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, let me talk about that a little bit, because we have had just a wonderful volunteer shelter over the last 6 years, starting with the Presbyterian Church and now up to 6 nights a week, and just a lot of amazing people who've contributed to that. This coming year, Aura, our organization, is going to hire a shelter coordinator. We got state funds to do that. And so we're beginning now to bring shelters into this continuum of care and make them more, I don't want to use the word institutional, but more permanent in nature than a volunteer shelter. So that's a step in the right direction. The county is looking at a countywide shelter through ACCESS, the large Jackson County Action Agency.
What would that require? People traveling to Medford or White City or something?
Wherever they locate that, yeah. And they could actually have transportation, public transportation to a county shelter. And then Medford has a shelter of about 50 beds in the basement of the Methodist Church there, which has been was very successful last year. So there is movement toward making shelters a viable part of the continuum of care.
And how much do your organizations get involved with the longer-term things, like pushing for like the cottage housing ordinance in Ashland that's designed to create smaller living spaces like accessory dwelling units?
So far, we have not been too involved with that. We do have a piece of property on the east end of town and 2.4 acres, and we got a grant from the city for Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and we are beginning some pre-development activities to see if we could put in permanent supportive housing. What does permanent supportive housing look like? Does it look like an apartment? Does it look like tiny homes? We're not sure yet, but we're going through a process to determine that.
Dan Fowler, I asked about the response from City Council. What kind of responses have you gotten from the broader community to the letter and the coverage of it in local media?
Very generally positive responses. I've had a number of folks that said they wanted to add their name to the list of support. We've got a Facebook page that has the letter, and I'd say there have probably been 10 to 15 people in the last couple of weeks that have said, please add my name to the letter. So I really do think there's a heart in this community to help, and I've seen that.
Just a couple seconds left. I wanted to ask you about the news item about the paintings of homeless people making the rounds of Ashland churches.
Yeah, we have that right now in our social hall. It was done by an artist in Washington, Aaron Burgess. And wonderful, very impactful paintings that point out to the struggles to live on the street.
All right. So we're talking about the current status of efforts to help homeless people in Ashland with Reverend Dan Fowler at the First Presbyterian Church, which helped create a shelter in the first place and now is looking for something a little more permanent. Ken Gudger is the president of OHRA, or ORA, Options for Helping Residents of Ashland. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Jeffrey.